The Lord be with you, Penrant. Hear the word of the Lord this morning, beginning with Proverbs 1 and a little bit of Proverbs 2. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we'll skip ahead here to verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. And we'll read through verse 5 of chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So that was Proverbs, written by Solomon, of course, regarded to be the wisest man in the history of Scripture. And so today I think it's fitting that we talk about wisdom. So I have 3 points I want to cover. Firstly, what is wisdom? Second, why should we desire it? And third, how do we get it? So let's begin with discussion of what is wisdom. So there's a saying I found in several places over my lifetime. It talks about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. So the saying goes that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to put a tomato in a fruit salad, which is a bit quippy, but kind of gets the point across. A slightly more detailed definition that I found is that wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So let's break that down a little bit. Experience. So wisdom requires maturity and a sense of the world. So as time progresses, wisdom increases. So this isn't to say that everyone who is old is wise, although aging is something that helps with that. And not to say that wisdom is absent in the young, although they have more work to do. But the point is that experience provides fuel, if you will, for wisdom. The second quality that it says here is knowledge. So knowledge is a factual understanding that provides proper foundations for wisdom. So you have to know things, obviously. And finally, good judgment. Now, this is a bit more difficult to define. It's using the knowledge and experience that you've gained to do good, essentially, to further the good. So that's the dictionary definition. Let's look a little bit at the Christian understanding of wisdom. So we just read in Proverbs 1 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts, right? That's the spark, if you will. Wisdom flows out of a fear of the Lord, which is kind of like the knowledge of God and his nature, or sort of an awe, a righteous awe of God. And it's also a right understanding of who we are in relationship to God. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all flows out of. In John 1, we hear, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Actually, it's "was with God" and "was God," but you get the point. That God is the Word, is really wisdom, is knowledge, is intellect. But also, we read later in that same passage that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, that he comes into the world and takes on that flesh. And God, as the source of all wisdom, became man, which is just amazing. And more than that, he came to be man so that we could be members of him, that we could be part of his body, that we could have relationship with the source of all wisdom. So Christ is wisdom, and in his divinity and in his humanity, he is wisdom. Wisdom is using this knowledge that we gain of God, of Christ, to become more like him. It's putting that understanding into action. And it's a fruit of the Spirit that all Christians can grow in and should grow in. It's not a gift that's given specifically to a few. It's something that we should all pursue. So that brings me to my second point of why we should desire wisdom. Well, I don't know about you guys, but all of the information that we're bombarded with in this day and age through the internet, through social media, through all the different sources you could possibly name is very difficult to sort out. There are sources that could back up all manner of opinions. So how are we to discern what to do about it? What are helpful sources of wisdom and knowledge? What are good things, good voices to listen to? I think Christ knew that would be something we would need to grapple with. In Matthew 10, verse 16, he says, "Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." In James 1, we read, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Solomon, actually, the writer of Proverbs, in 1 Kings 3, talks about his need for wisdom after he's become king of Israel. So I'll read a bit from that. So this is 1 Kings 3, verse 3. "Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and went to Gibeon. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?' It pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, 'Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days.'" That attitude of Solomon, that knowledge of that need for wisdom, that humility, I think is something that we should all feel the need for. I think I've heard the phrase a lot, it's just a simple faith that is all that's required, that you don't need all that theology, all that stuff, to connect with God, to have life in Jesus. And I would say on the one hand, you're right, that God desires us to have a simple childlike faith. But being childlike doesn't mean being childish. There's a difference. And I think that a simple faith is where it begins, but it cannot remain there. Christ, again, commands us, to be wise as serpents, that we should become people who are discerning, who embrace God's right teaching in all the forms that it's found. Because Christ desires to be one with us, desires to be joined with us, and desires us to be joined with him in turn. And to do that, that requires growth of this life that he's planted within us. And wisdom is one of the ways that that grows. And through wisdom, we can learn to discern the sources of knowledge that we have in this world. So many different voices clamoring for our attention. We can learn what draws us closer to or further away from God and how to respond to those things in action. We can learn to respond to right teaching, especially when it hurts our pride. We can put that aside and recognize that God is teaching us, God is molding us, God is drawing us. Ultimately, wisdom is how we draw closer to God, through understanding what God has offered to us and then doing something about it. And doing so, we draw others to him as well by shining his light throughout the world. Another passage of scripture I think that's especially relevant here is a few verses from Matthew 7, from the Sermon on the Mount. So we're starting at verse 24, going through 27. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Christ is calling to us to put our belief, our knowledge of God in action. Hears these words of mine and does them. I think that's so important. So how do we gain wisdom? Well, it's pretty simple according to James 1 verse 5. James says, "Let him who lacks wisdom ask of God." We have this connection to God through the means that he's given us, through his word, through each other, and through prayer. And when I was reading Proverbs 1 initially and preparing for this, it was struck by sort of a dual posture of seeking and receiving wisdom. It's sort of a listening attitude, one that sits at the feet of Jesus, like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, absorbing his teaching. Also one of pursuing and seeking, of reaching out, going after it. And I think these overlap a bit, but that sort of is illustrated throughout Proverbs 1, that you see 1 verse 5, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance," kind of that listening posture. And then you see that in 2, where Solomon writes, "If you seek wisdom as silver and as precious gold," that hunger, that desire, that need, I think those two sort of attitudes are so important. Being open to instruction first, that kind of listening, receiving posture, involves the humility to know that we need to be taught and that we need to grow and increase. How do we do that? What do we listen to, really, is the question. And I think, of course, God's word is the big one. God speaks to us through his word. So listening to his word, listening to the way that we see God's word exemplified in creation, and the world around us, we can see God through that, learning to hear his voice through his works. And also our brothers and sisters in Christ. So those of us who are younger in our faith should be listening to, seeking out the counsel of more mature, more wise brothers and sisters in Christ, listening to them, receiving their instruction and their wisdom. And not just of those living, but also of those who have passed on, those who have wrote down their thoughts, so that we could read them and benefit from their wisdom. And likewise, those of us who may be more wise and mature should be looking for opportunities to increase that wisdom, that knowledge, and that maturity, and then also to pass that on to younger generations in a loving way. Saint Isidore Seville is someone who was a great thinker in his time. The Catholic Church actually named him the patron saint of the internet. So here's a quote from him that I found very helpful. "All spiritual growth comes by reading and reflection. By reading, we learn what we did not know, and by reflection, we retain what we have learned. The conscientious reader will be more concerned to carry out what he has learned than merely to acquire knowledge of it. In reading, we aim at knowing, but we must put into practice what we have learned in the course of our study." So this goes into the reading of God's Word, but also I think this bleeds over into the pursuing, seeking attitude that I was talking about, because it's not just reading the words, it's meditating on it, it's diving after meaning within those words. And through studying, through reflecting on Scripture, we pursue that wisdom, we seek that wisdom of God. Also prayer. I mean, James says, let him ask of God. How else do we do that but through prayer? Prayer is how we converse with God. If God's word is how he speaks to us, prayer is our half of the conversation in which we reach out to him with our concerns, with our needs. And God promises that he will answer that. So ultimately, wisdom is pursuing greater knowledge of God, but not just leaving it there, not just leaving knowing. It's turning that knowledge towards obedience in every sphere of our lives. We're learning to live like Christ, to be conformed to Christ. Solomon is widely regarded as the wisest king in the history of Israel. But if you know the rest of his story, you know that Solomon fell. That he took many foreign wives and they lured him after false gods, that he bowed down to them and worshipped them and departed from the true worship of God. And I think that's because if wisdom strays from being planted and founded in Christ, then it loses its source, its wellspring, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. And that's the most important thing that I would leave you with today, is that that is where we should come to God, both individually as well as a body of Christ, as the church together, working together to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with a quote from Colossians 1 verse 9 that Paul says to the church there. He prays that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will, of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's my prayer for all of us, especially in this time of quarantine, that we would use this as an opportunity to draw closer to God and to learn wisdom so we know how to follow him. God bless you. Wherever you are listening to this, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And I look forward to worshiping with you in person again, more than I know how to say. Farewell.